particularly in the NFC South where the Atlanta Falcons reside, which may include Tom Brady. One team has already made one change at their quarterback spot in that division, and another one has kept their old fart that they have, while another one is in limbo and may be the destination for TB, so we'll talk about that. Three guests, Rod McKenzie, geojackets.com. We'll talk Georgia Tech. Not sure about what, but we'll check in with Rod on what's going on there at the Georgia Tech Athletic Association, which is not much. D. Orlando Ledbetter does have things to talk about. He is the beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk to him. Although you would think their front office has been quarantined considering the lack of movement in the last 24 hours. And Steve Eubanks, legendary golf writer, good friend who has written about the Masters in many numerous books. Former colleague of mine at Fox Sports South, he'll be here to talk about the Masters and it being postponed and just how the crisis has impacted the game of golf. So we'll have those three guests, and then we'll invite your phone calls, plead with you to call at 4:40 or 5 o'clock. How you doing, Russ?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Getting adjusted like everybody else to this. To the e-learning is a big thing in my house right now, obviously.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
It's going well. It's going really well. It was kind of nice this morning because I was, you know, sitting on the couch doing my usual show prep, and to have the family there, you know, working alongside. They're doing something else, obviously. It was kind of neat because I usually, you know, this, I was saying this earlier today, by this point of the day, I haven't seen them yet.
Right.
So,
yeah. And they leave before you get up. And
yeah. So it's kind of nice having them there.
So what's going to go up more, divorces or births?
Yes.
Okay. Next year will be interesting to see those numbers, will it not?
I've got a name for them.
What's that?
Coronials.
Oh, my God. We don't need anything else like that, do we? Like a millennial clone, the Coronials. That is good. I like that.
I stole that off a Facebook meme.
Oh, you need to can you go get the domain name or that?
I could, yeah, if it's not already taken.
Dude, I'm telling you. That might be a way to get all of us out of debt if you get that right there. All right, so as we did yesterday and we'll do every day, we'll keep you updated on any news that needs to be shared with you. I still hate saying this over and over and over again. This is a movie that we're living in real life. I wake up and I'm like, what did they just say? San Francisco shut down? I thought about something, and I actually didn't watch the movie, but over the weekend when I was flipping on the channels to see what the heck was on, Batman was on. Michael Keaton, that Batman.
Oh, the good Batman.
The good Batman. You know, when he says, I'm Batman. It's a great movie, right? Oh, my
yes.
Gosh. How great was that movie? That's one of the more entertaining movies from a just dramatic license, right? Gotham, there's a flying bat, there's a guy with a Joker face. I bet you hated that, didn't you? Did you not like the Joker?
No, I'm not a fan. I don't really like Jack Nicholson after that movie, to be honest with you. He was so good at it.
You would. Anyway, you remember the scene where Jack or the Joker had done something to the makeup and, like, the news anchors went on without makeup?
Oh, yeah.
And hadn't shaved and everything? I kind of feel like that's where we are.
Really?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like,
no, I do remember that scene.
When they went on the air, they were kind of disheveled, and it was like a state of panic in the Gotham world. And not that the anchors are not wearing makeup, but it's like, we're just kind of in that same state, aren't we? Where it's like, weird. That was weird. That was a damn movie. That was a movie. Somebody had infected the makeup and what, soap or whatever of the... of Gotham, whatever he had done, and I don't know. It's just, I asked my friend today, I was talking, and I'm like, are we going to wake up out of this? And I think it's going to be months before we do.
It could take a little while. I don't know. I guess I'm realizing what a hermit I am, because I mean, yeah, there's fewer people on the roads, but, you know, and having the family there today, but it hasn't really been that different for me. I had to run by the hardware store early this morning, and it was, you know, they were open, and there was the usual crew there, and asking me if I, of course, I know right where I'm going. I'm the old man at the hardware store. No, I don't need any help. I know where I'm going. but the biggest change, I think, from my own personal experience is just the driving back and forth to work. And there are a lot more people out on the road this afternoon than this morning, but man, coming in this morning, it was, there weren't a lot of people out at all.
Really?
Yeah. But now today on the way back this afternoon, the interstates looked pretty normal and the roads seemed pretty normal.
Well, I think more people are staying at home. And, you know, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. Our listenership includes a high percentage of people who are in their car, and that might not be the same here in the next couple of weeks. And we ask you that if you like our show, if you listen to our show, to please listen at home, thesuperstations.com. We are going to have some additional ways for you to listen to us in the near future that will make it easier for you to listen at home. And so we are working on that, but we do ask that you simply stay with us and listen to us. We'll try to be informative. We'll try to be entertaining. We'll try to do our normal thing, which includes some craziness, and we'll have some theme shows. I don't think we're going to play baseball for 3 months. See, that's another thing. The longer I go along, the more negative I get about timetable as far as sports is concerned. Not as far, again, you know what? Wake up, you got to go to work, or even if it's at your desk, you got to pay your bills, you got to eat, you got to do what you do. But as far as sports is concerned, I just think we're looking at 3 months. And that's pretty depressing for me because I'm a damn baseball fan, and I'm 12 days away from really, really wishing we had some baseball because it would be opening day. So, this stinks, and, of course, we all want to be healthy. We all want to stay healthy, and I'm sick of the word. Emails, coronavirus. I just saw an email right there. What was that? Let me see what that email was. I just got an email. Oh, wow. And I just saw we got another guest coming up at 5 o'clock. Coach Strickland, Scott Strickland, UGA. I'm glad I went to the spam folder there. That went to my spam folder.
Oh, wow. I'm glad you caught that.
Oh, my gosh. I almost did not catch that. Holy cow. How about that?
All right.
Scott Strickland, UGA baseball coach, will be with us at 5 o'clock. I mean, I never would have seen that. I don't know why that went to my spam folder. How about that? Thank God for that. I mean, I literally did not see that. It was in the mix of all the silver single emails that Russ and my friend Frank have been sending in my email account. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, every damn email in there is just corona. Corona, 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 corona. Could coronavirus scarred Brazilian beef burn Trump? What the heck kind of email is that? See there? That's crazy.
I was saying to somebody today, how can I say this delicately on the air? I'm receiving multiple emails per day from a certain individual that used to send like one or two emails a day. And it's like, I almost want to respond, you know, with the Aaron Rodgers, relax, just calm down.
Mm. That's not good. I know.
And they're just trying to help. I mean, they're literally just trying to help. It's not anything bad, or they're just, it's just information and, you know, keeping in touch sort of a thing, but it's a little overkill.
Yeah, it can be. There's no doubt it can be. Anyway, Tom Brady's not going to be a Patriot anymore. How about that? Between the coronavirus on one channel and Tom Brady on all the others, that's the entire thing on television today.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Drive safely on the way home.
But I mean, that's it. That's really, I mean, we're down to news and NFL news, and it's, thank there's God. Only one thing on the news, and there's only one thing on ESPN right now, and that's it. You're right.
It's crazy. Well, and look, it's big news. He's the best player in NFL history. I believe that. Do you? Are you going to say that? Come on, say it. Admit it. Say it. Say
I want to see what the Patriots do in the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh, look at you.
I mean, I'm leaning that way, right? If you had to pin me down for an answer today, he's the greatest quarterback who ever lived.
Now, yes. See, quarterback or player?
Quarterback.
Okay, who's the greatest player to ever live?
Well, and I didn't see him play a whole lot.
I'm taking Tom Pridemore, Falcons, 1982.
But just the way I remember watching him play, and then just hearing the way people talk about the way he played in the league and in college. Lawrence Taylor is one that jumps out.
Ooh, there you
but
go.
I like defensive players, so I'm going to pick a. Just
thought you were going to say Jim Brown.
Well, that was I don't know anybody that saw him play. I mean, well, I guess I do, but I've
never
sat
down. Yeah,
you
do, but they're my friends.
I never sat down and had a conversation about it.
They're my friends. You want to ask them? You got their text number.
Yeah, but I remember watching the NFL films, and it was just, as a kid even, it resonated with me how the other players talked about Lawrence Taylor. And I was like, man, this dude must be a bad you-know-what.
He was. He defensively, I think you're right. A lot of people have said Jerry Rice is the best player ever in football. And some people have had a problem with that because he's a receiver. Oh, well, you just caught passes your whole life. Well, he was really good at it. I don't know what his target to completion ratio was. The stat heads would have to tell you that. but I think we know if we watch Jerry Rice in that time frame, he was an outstanding player. And I think he's got to be in your top five. I do. I think Lawrence Taylor is in that. I think it's hard to say best player ever. Although I probably wouldn't have Tom Brady at number one. I think Tom Brady's number right there. Lawrence Taylor. I think you have to think about Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Running back.
Yeah.
In our lifetime. I mean, I know Emmitt Smith had great numbers, has the lead in rushing yards. Barry Sanders is just an outstanding football player. Trying to think of who else defensively would fit into that category. I would not put Deion there as a cornerback, would you? He may be in my top 15 or 20. I don't know about top 5.
Yeah.
It's a little much.
He's probably the best
athlete.
Maybe best athlete. Maybe best kick returner.
Yeah.
Cover corner. Just kind of getting specific there.
Yeah.
But defense, I think. I don't know, maybe Ronnie Lott.
Ronnie Lott was good. Lawrence Taylor, Ronnie Lott, they kind of in the same time frame, right?
Yeah. Reggie White, maybe?
Reggie White was great, yes. I think you're right about that. I'm trying to think of some like the people before. I mean, you know, one of the players I wish I could have seen was Dick Butkus. Because Dick Butkus just looks like the kind of human being that you'd want for a defensive football player.
I saw a still photograph of him, and they were playing. The Bears were playing against the Packers.
Oh God!
And I don't know who the other players were, but the running back is coming through the line of scrimmage, and he's got two blockers out in front of him. And Dick Butkus has basically just wrapped his arm around the two lead blockers and is holding up the line of scrimmage with the running back pushing behind him. Like, I mean, that's, you don't see that in today's game.
But it's like, don't you look at Dick Butkus even today, and he's old now. He's, what, 75, 80? I don't know how. And you're like, God, that's what an NFL player is. Like, you look at Jeff Van Noe when Jeff is, like, in town for the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. And like, so how many years did you play offensive line? You know? You kind of look at that. But Butkus, to me, as far as the players I didn't see, you're like, oh, yeah, Jim Brown, of course. I think Jim Brown's in the top five as well. I think Joe Montana is as well. I think I've got like 7 or 8 in my top five now. But I there's no doubt Montana. That has nothing to do with the amount of Super Bowls he won. That's part of the equation, but partly also because he just tore up my team like crazy. Just ripped them. I'd hate to see his – didn't we look that up one time, his stats against the Falcons? And one, it is not as tragically bad as we thought, it seems like.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it was just awful. Awful. But anyway – Brady's won 6 Super Bowls. He seems to have not slowed down. He's going to be 43 in August. He wants to play another year or two, I guess, or more. I don't know. He's probably the youngest 43-year-old you'll know. And he is driven to win. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He wants to leave New England. I don't know why. I don't get it. It's not mine to get, I guess. Because there, to me, is some value in a player of that caliber playing his whole career with one team. Call it the Chipper Jones syndrome or whatever. But I think Chipper is so brave, literally, because he stayed with the Braves and wanted to stay with the Braves. He's convinced Freddie Freeman to do the same thing, and I hope Freddie will be allowed to do that. I hate that John Smoltz put on a Red Sox or Cardinals uniform. I know John Smoltz was drafted by the Tigers, played in the Detroit system, traded to Atlanta, but we know from a major league standpoint he's still the Braves player. The lefty pitcher who was there at that same time period scarred his legacy in my mind. I'm not kidding. I'm not being a jerk. He did. I love Tom Glavine, past tense, L-O-V-E-D. And when he went to the enemy, it scarred him. And it wasn't like, you know, Joe Montana going to the Chiefs at that point. He still had legit years to pitch, and he went to the enemy. And I don't care who was at fault. It doesn't matter if it was Schuerholz or Stan Kasten or Glavine. It happened, and I don't like it. And so, therefore, he gets blamed. If Tom Glavine should have never pitched in another uniform. Greg Maddux came to Atlanta from Chicago, then left because they obviously had cheap ownership. He never should have pitched in another uniform. It was stupid. It was dumb. And we know that. He pitched for the Cubs again, then the Dodgers, then the Padres. Who else? Cubs again, I think. I don't know. And that was bad, but he had started with the Cubs. Tom Glavine should have been a Brave his whole life, like Chipper Jones. Yes, it was sickening that Dale Murphy played for the Phillies and then the Rockies. Yes, it was sickening to me that Phil Niekro played for the Yankees and Blue Jays and Indians. And if you're a Boston fan, sports fan up there, you're sick today because Tom Brady's not going to finish his career in a New England uniform. And you're like, why? I don't know who's at fault. I don't know whether it's Belichick or Kraft or Brady just wants to go. Maybe he does, and maybe it's that simple. Maybe it has nothing to do with the amount of times he's taken one for the team financially. It doesn't matter. You know what? It doesn't matter how much money he's got or how much money his wife's got. You want to be paid for your value. And if you're the best player in the game and you've taken hits financially for your team, you're still like, well, you know, you put yourself in his shoes about that. So anyway, he's gone, and it's spiking a domino effect in quarterbacks that is going to be very interesting. So we're going to take a break, come back, talk about that, talk about how it's going to impact the Falcons' division, which it could, and also talk more about some of the other NFL moves. We'll check with Rod McKenzie coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Then the Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC. We'll talk Falcons. Steve Eubanks will talk golf at 4:25. And again, Scott Strickland, the head baseball coach at the University of Georgia, will talk with him about his sad players, and it's awful, awful of having to just cancel a season that looked so promising from the very start. Then we'll take your phone calls after that. With Russ Brown, I'm Bill Shanks. You're listening to The Bill Shanks Show. Tomorrow on the show, Jack Bowerly will be on with us. He is the UGA swimming and diving coach. And he'll be on to talk about how that sport has been impacted by the outbreak and also talk about the Olympics. So we look forward to having Coach Bowerly on, good friend and a Hall of Famer as well. Wanted to let you know, I saw this a little while ago on Facebook. Mike Seekins at Famous Mike's put on there that he's going to be opening at 11 on Wednesday and Thursday. He'll have breakfast again on Friday and Saturday, but for tomorrow, he'll open at 11 tomorrow and Thursday. Of course, all of our restaurant sponsors are doing takeouts that you can call them, and please continue to use our restaurant sponsors and enjoy their food. Just take it home with you. All right. So What a day in the NFL. Waiting on Tom Brady and at the same time wondering if he's going to come to the NFC South. The Bucs are a team that are a big possibility, according to everyone talking today. He's got a relationship with Bruce Arians, and therefore that's kind of where that's coming from. No doubt that Tampa Bay has some weapons for him to throw the ball to. Evans is one, and they've got, I mean, they've got some talent on that team. But if you're Tom Brady, are you challenged by the possibility of going to a mid-level team who might get to the next level if you join them, or do you just not care and want to go somewhere and play? I mean, they, you know, yeah, again, they've got Mike Evans at Tampa Bay. They got Chris Godwin, who is a very good player as well. He was the third-round pick a couple years ago, had a big year for them. They've got a nice team in Tampa Bay. I like Bruce Arians a lot. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contender, though. You would just assume to a certain extent that he would want to go there to a Super Bowl contender. I don't even know if the Chargers are. That's the other team that's being – I look at the Raiders as more of a Super Bowl contender than the Chargers or the Bucks, only because they got a lot of cap room and they're making a lot of moves right now. And I think Chucky is a pretty good coach. But what the hell is Tom Brady going to do, Russ? What do you think?
The Raiders – now, and it wasn't big money, but they did sign Marcus Mariota last night.
They did, yeah.
I don't think that's to be their quarterback, though. I think that's to be a backup and compete with David Carr. I don't think the market – I mean, the San Francisco has pretty much passed. I don't think the market for Tom Brady is going to be exactly what Tom Brady thought it was going to be. But it goes back to this for me. I think if this is strictly a football decision, which I don't think it is, by the way, I think it's Tampa Bay. You mentioned the receivers they have. Plus, there's Bruce Arians. Tampa Bay, they were 7-9 last year. They actually outscored their opponents, but they had a quarterback that threw 30 interceptions.
Yeah, he's awful.
So, you know, what does Tom Brady make them by throwing 15 interceptions? Are you 10-6? Are you 11-5? Mm-hmm. I mean, probably.
O.J. Howard, a good target, too, the young tight end from Alabama. You know, yeah, he's good as well.
I forgot he was there. That's right. So I think you look at that, and then, you know, Oakland, I think, is more the going back home thing because a lot of people, there's a lot of Raiders fans already where he grew up. And then, of course, with the movie thing, could Los Angeles Chargers be the destination? If all of it's a factor, if it's the combination of football and going back to the West Coast, then Oakland seems like the likely landing spot. And I'm pretty sure John Gruden's ready to move on to – oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Vegas.
Because they do start this year in Vegas, right?
They do, yeah. They it's Las Vegas now. So that would be the spot. But, I mean, if he had a hard time getting along with Bill Belichick, he's really going to have a hard time getting along with John Gruden.
I don't get that. I just don't understand. And they were saying this morning on Go Look and Wingo about the egos. Okay. All three of them, Belichick, Kraft, and Brady, all have egos. If you win, guess what you're going to have? Ego. Chuck Noll was a very quiet person, but he had an ego. You know why? Because he won three Super Bowls, or what, four, maybe four, I don't remember. So, yeah, that's always going to be kind of part of the equation, I'm sure, but I still just don't get why he's leaving. I don't know why he would want to leave, want to put on another uniform, want to try to – what is he trying to prove? What is it – he's a 43-year-old Super Bowl winner with Tampa Bay. What does that change his legacy? He's already won six. You know, he won six, and there was a decade in between two of them, right? So what is he needing to prove here by doing – I don't get it. I don't. And, of course, I'm not in his shoes. I don't know how he feels. He obviously feels disrespected to some extent from either Belichick or Kraft. It sounds like it's more Belichick, but I don't know. It's weird. And where did the San Francisco stuff come from? I never got that. Did you? Come up as a possibility for him.
Other than it's, you know, going back home. And again, I think it's similar to the reason Tennessee came up. It's a team that's built mostly on the run game.
Right.
You know, and Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, heck, they won a conference championship where he attempted seven passes. But I think San Francisco's happy with Garoppolo.
It should be.
And I think Yeah, part of this is, and this is just natural. I mean, Tom Brady's 42 years old. A lot of people don't want to invest a lot of money or a lot of years into a 42-year-old player. But in Tom Brady's mind, because of his what he does health-wise and the way he keeps himself in shape, Tom Brady probably doesn't look at himself as a 42-year-old player. And I think that's where a lot of this comes from. And then also, as you mentioned earlier, taking pay cuts along the way. And now, look, he feels like he's owed something, and the Patriots aren't going to give it to him because there's a hard cap, and they don't want to invest in a 42-year-old quarterback.
And it will be interesting to see how they divest his money and who they get. Andy Dalton? Jacoby Brissett? All right, Phillip Rivers may go back or go to Indianapolis. That's the rumor. And then Jacoby Brissett would be available to possibly go back to New England. Remember, he was there already. You know, they seem to like Jarrett Stidham. All right, well, that's someone you can maybe develop. But, you know, so they're going to trade for Andy Dalton, have Jarrett Stidham, and then draft Jake Fromm. Well, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and then Teddy Bridgewater, his name's come up for Charlotte and New England.
I think he's in for Charlotte. I think from what I've read now, unless something's changed, he's 3 years, $60 million for Charlotte. And they want him because of Joe Brady, thinking that Joe Brady – which I could see Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator and future head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, wanting a quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater to be able to run that kind of offense compared to a 43-year-old man. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
I mean, when I first heard the thing today about Cam Newton, who, by the way, is on the trade block, which is the first time he's been on the trade block since he left Florida, I thought Carolina was going to go after Tom Brady. And then all of a sudden the Bridgewater thing popped up. You're like, wow, okay, so Bridgewater's going to Carolina. Another team I heard on television a little while ago on the NFL Network, Russ, was Chicago, saying that Chicago might go ahead and pull the plug on their big quarterback, you know, that I can't think of his name.
Mitch Trubisky.
Thank you. Mitchell.
Right? I'm sorry, yes. Mitchell. My bad.
Be careful now. Mitchell. And go with Tom Brady. I don't know if I buy that or not. I don't. But, you know, you got to look at it. All right, Cincinnati's going to get Burrow. Dolphins are probably going to get Tua. Or maybe Love. I don't know. I don't know if I buy that or not. Or Herbert. Dolphins have been mentioned. Why the hell would he want to go to Miami? That's awful. The Dolphins are awful. They've been awful for a long time. So there's a lot of possibilities and a lot of names that are going out there about the Patriots. We mentioned Jacoby Brissett, Andy Dalton, Josh Allen. No, wait, hold on. The one that's in Miami that was in Tennessee. No,
oh,
not
Tannehill?
No. The one, is it Josh Allen or Josh Rosen? The one that was in Arizona.
Oh, that's, yeah, Josh
that's
Rosen.
That's Rosen, right? Yeah. That's the UCLA kid. Yeah. Always, Josh Allen's in Buffalo. Josh Rosen's now in Miami.
Right, same
was draft. Was in Arizona. Yeah, I get them confused a lot. Okay. Sorry, you know how old I am now.
Totally understandable.
Josh Rosen was a possibility because they said that the Patriots had interest in him out of the draft. So that could be a possibility. So, I don't know. We know that. And where will Cam Newton go? Where's Cam going to go? Who's going to want Cam Newton? Same kind of – I mean, would New England want Cam Newton? Would they want him? Would they take a chance on him?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, if you're going to pass on Tom Brady, I would imagine you want to go young and kind of start over. And Cam Newton is not that player.
See, I don't know if starting over is part of Belichick's vocabulary, though.
This is true. This is true. But Newton is – how old is he now?
30.
He's 30, and he's an old 30. There's a lot of miles on that body.
He had two major injuries last year that kept him out most of the year.
Yeah, and he leads. And keep in mind now, you know what we say about running backs, right? Well, he's the all-time leader in rushing touchdowns for the Panthers, which is a great accomplishment, but at the same time.
He's 30. I wouldn't want him, but he's Cam Newton. So, isn't it interesting, though? Thank God we have this, by the way. Or if not, we'd be in trouble. The NFL got a lot of heat the last 48 hours or so because, well, they're keeping this going here, and they're going to keep their schedule and so forth. I understand, and we know the blanket disclaimer that's on every part of this discussion and everything else in sports. there's bigger things going on. We know that. But believe me, for a country that is craving something besides seeing that damn word coronavirus right now, to see any type of sports activity, even if it is off the field, thank God. I'm not kidding. Like, thank you for having something here, because next week, we'll see, right?
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. Well, we're going to be breaking down old games. Maybe somebody will, like, Fox Sports South should replay last season of the Braves. Just show a Braves game every night. I think we'd watch it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be a really good idea.
They'd get a bigger rating than poker.
You can still go out to get food. You can't really go out to eat, but you can go to the restaurant and get it.
Right.
Yeah, it's some adjustment. There's some adjustment here for the next couple of weeks, but I think we'll be all right.
The things coming out of our mouth. What the hell are we talking about? It just still does not make any sense.
It's surreal.
It is. It's surreal. I've used that word too, Russ. There's nothing more to describe it.
No, I've said this all along. Like, it's an adjustment, so just flow with it. Like, we're the whole family's going to the park this evening on a Tuesday. We never do that. It's not all bad. I've even threatened now. I don't know if I'm actually going to follow through with this, Bill, but I'm thinking about reading a book. I don't know. We'll see.
Now, we may need that breaking news liner for that more than the Roadhouse thing.
Listen, I'm not, you know, I don't want to panic, but I may have to read a book eventually.
Well, and not that I'm, you know, on Tinder all the time here reading books, but you know what? I'm with you. And the reason I say that, I might pick up a book from my little miniature unused library. What's worse, my elliptical machine or my library as far as getting used?
Now, I think now you'll have to get on the elliptical and read so you can multitask.
Big time.
Because the opportunity for that's out the window.
Big right time, now. Absolutely. But you know what? I can't sit in front of the television and watch something without turning it on that damn news.
Yeah, it's.
I can't.
I've prescribed the news to myself because I want to be informed and know what's going on. So it's literally like I on the commute here, and then what I hear with the updates we're running for 41 NBC. If I watch it for more than 15 minutes, I can't. I just don't think that's a very healthy thing to do.
It's right not, now. And I can't stop myself. But I'm a news junkie.
Yeah.
So I'm watching like the news coverage of it, right? But at the same time, I'm getting the coverage of it, if you will, and that is a problem for me. I'm going to have to turn this off and read a book, read something, you know, and I because I've got to. You can't watch this crap, and I'm not talking about the political. That is narrowing. The political discussion is narrowing significantly.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell?
Yeah. No, that's the best part. I mean, there, yeah. There's no – that. What does that accomplish at
Nothing.
This point? No, we're not there. We're definitely headed in the right direction as far as that's concerned. We got to take care of each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this is serious. This is bad. This is all the things we know. And, wow, the Tennessee Titans are signing Vic Beasley.
Whoa.
Diana Rossini of ESPN reporting now that the Tennessee Titans are signing former Falcons linebacker Vic Beasley. So Falcons fans, our long national nightmare, not named the coronavirus, is over. Vic Beasley is not going to be playing for the Atlanta Falcons. Tennessee. That's good. Let him play for Tennessee. That's all right. I'll take that.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Is he Derrick Henry's backup? Is that what they're going to do with him? What I'd do with him.
Oh, boy. What's he playing, safety? Falcons haven't done anything yet. Leonard Floyd got released today by the Bears. You interested in him?
If the price is right, because we're shopping in the bargain aisle again. Price is
right, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're not getting Quinn.
Hey.
Robert Quinn signed with the Bears for $70 million for 5 years. We're in the Dollar General aisle.
Yeah.
For that, for sure.
Hey, I mean, maybe the pitch is, hey, Leonard, come home. You're not going to disappoint these fans any more than they already are.
The Dodge County, baby. Bring him home. I'll take him.
He could find himself.
Well, and I was reading something today about the fact that he had three sacks last season, and there's talent there. He's still young. I think he's only 26, maybe, I think. I'll take him in a heartbeat. I will, seriously. I mean, he's 6'5", 240. I'm interested in the Falcons. I know Vaughn McClure of ESPN said that the Falcons showed some interest in Leonard Floyd when he was coming out of Georgia a few years ago. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's – sign somebody. Oh, but wait, they're not in salary cap hell. I got to remember that, Russ. I mean, they're just watching all this from afar to be 6 feet away from every free agent in the damn market. What is it called? Social distancing?
Yeah.
D. Orlando, are the Falcons practicing too much social distancing from agents? All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and our friend Rob McKenzie will join us to talk about Georgia Tech's impact of having all this happen. And we'll do that right after this. Well, we could go to Electric Avenue, but let's go to North Avenue. Like that? 4 years of college and a lot of debt to do something just like that. All right, let's talk a little bit of Georgia Tech athletics and bring in our friend Rod McKenzie. What's Atlanta like today, Rod?
I don't know. I've socially distanced myself, so.
Oh, wow. Good for you. How about that? Sounds like a lot of people.
I know the campus at Georgia Tech is empty. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, this is weird as hell, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, at this time of year, I'd be down there every other day for football practice and every weekend and one day in the midweek for a baseball game. So it's withdrawals are not good.
Let's talk about baseball first. First thing I thought about last week when they shut it down for spring sports was, man, we got some good baseball teams in this state, and all of a sudden they got to push stop, not pause, but stop. And how bad was that for Georgia Tech, who obviously was playing very well?
Yeah, I just wrote two stories on our interview with Danny Hall, and they were getting on the bus, getting ready to go down to Florida State for a three-game series with the nationally ranked Florida State Seminoles, and they got a call from Florida State say, hey, hold on, you know, I think the season's going to be shut down, and that's what happened. Sent the players home for spring break. They're not allowed to work out with the players. Then the NCAA comes along and says, hey, we're thinking about, you know, letting the seniors have an extra year of eligibility since they didn't get to play the full season. Well, that just throws a little monkey wrench into everything, because you have the 11.7 scholarships, you know, that are limited, and you know, you have to give each player at least 25%. So roster management all of a sudden becomes a real chore.
Right.
And until the NCAA decides to let them know how they're going to manage all this, they're out there, you know, trying to decide what to do with the roster management.
Well, they're going to have to increase that number, right? I mean, they're going to have to. If they're going to allow seniors to come back for another year of eligibility, how can they limit it at 11.6? There's no way.
No, there certainly isn't. And, you know, the other thing that's involved in all this is the draft, you know.
Yep.
Players that were, you take a guy like Austin Wilhite, who they moved from second base to the bullpen, and he pitches three games, doesn't give up a single run, and all of a sudden he's going to be a factor in the season, and he doesn't get to show his wares anymore during the season. So, you know, it's going to affect a lot of different people, and like Danny Hall said, the worst thing is just sitting around waiting, you know, when you're used to being out there every single day working with the team, and all of a sudden you're sitting at home on the couch with your sons, you know, it's a different game for him right now.
It is. The draft is going to be impacted. Players are not going to be able to work out. Obviously, MLB teams are going to have to try to base their evaluation on what they've seen so far, which is limited. And these players who may have been on the fence about leaving are going to have another option or feel like, I mean, I don't know. It's just a damn mess is all it is. It's just so many different tentacles of this, of the impact of what's going on here. And of course, we know it's secondary compared to the big picture, but still, for what we talk about, this is a big thing. And as you said, you would be at spring football practice which is not going to happen. Let's just go ahead and say that out loud. I think there are a lot of things we just kind of need to say out loud. Spring football is not going to happen in this country this year. So the next time we hope that everybody's going to be on the football field will be August. But how does not having spring football impact the Georgia Tech football program, in your opinion?
Well, you know, you have a couple different categories, and I wrote an article on this week. Number one, they went through six practices. They had seven left, plus a spring game. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing for these spring practices is to get as many reps as possible so that the coaches can evaluate you. And you had a couple of young quarterbacks coming in, early enrollees, trying to learn the playbook. It really affects them. You know, they were getting a lot of reps, but all of a sudden they're shut down. You have players that switched positions that were trying to learn a new position. Jerry Howard went from running back to linebacker, and Bruce George and Sue William went from linebacker to running back. They got their, indoctrination shut down there. You have a couple of young players that played as freshmen that were just starting to come on. You know, Michael Lockhart is one of them, but it was, you know, you really felt that he was going to make a name for himself this season. All of a sudden, he's shut down. So it affects the players in a lot of different ways. But there's nothing better than getting those reps out there. You know, you can go home and lift weights all you want, you know, during this time, but that's not going to help you progress in your, you know, in the way you want to get ready for the season.
Rod McKenzie, our guest, GOJackets.com. And you have to wonder, Rod, if after all this passes, hopefully, when they do talk about how they're going to deal with football moving forward, they got to give them more than the practices they usually have. I don't know how many that – well, what is it in August? It's not 15. How many is it in August they have? Is it 15?
I'm not sure. I think they do so many days from the first game.
So they got to increase the number, right? They got to. They're going to have to give these teams more time to evaluate talent, considering they're not going to have a spring football practice.
There's no doubt about it. And you look at some teams are just finishing up. Some are in the middle. Some haven't even started. Now, if Paul Johnson was here, Georgia Tech wouldn't even have started spring practice because he'd like to wait until they came back from spring break to go through the spring practices. So not everybody is equal in what has happened and what lies ahead.
Well, it's just such a shame because there are programs like Georgia Tech that actually need to have that evaluation period, and especially going into, let's be honest, a coach's second season is really their first full, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it, Rod. If you're a coach, especially if you've taken over for a coach that had been there for 11 years, you're really in your first full year as the head coach coming in. And that was when a lot of evaluation was going to be made. And, you know, I mean, maybe he'll have more time, talking about Jeff Collins, of course, to evaluate the freshman who will be in. But it's just that would have been a very important time for Tech to finish up their spring practice, for sure.
No doubt about it. I mean, last year it was all about teaching new techniques, the way they like to run things, the culture, everything was involved. Now, none of that is involved in the spring practice. It's just going out there doing your thing, and you don't have to. The practices are going a lot faster. They're getting more reps in, and you know, this was their chance to catch up with everybody else, you know, before the start of the season.
Well, it's crazy, and yeah, it's such a shame too, and you just hate it for these senior athletes. And I mean, if they're given another year of eligibility, that's going to be great. They're going to have to make the decision whether or not to come back or not, but it's still a incredible turn of events for sure, and you hate it for Danny Hall and the baseball team that had done so well, and now we just have to wait, right, Rod?
That's all we can do is just sit back and wait and you know, try to figure out who's going to make that decision to proceed forward once they feel it's safe. And I mean, you look in the ACC, you have a school like Duke. They said, hey, we don't care what the ACC is doing. We're shutting down all our sports. So they sort of, you know, put the kibosh on the postseason. And now, you know, I'm not sure if very many people trust some of these AD type or commissioner type people to make the right decision.
Mm. Well, we'll see. It's going to be interesting, no doubt about that. Rod? All right. Hey, thank you very much. You know, in a couple of weeks when we're running dry, we're going to have the Rod McKenzie day here where we're just going to profile you the whole day, so get ready for that.
I'm all set, man.
All right. Hey, Rod, stay safe. Thank you, sir. All right. A little bit of news here before we go to break. Phillip Rivers has just signed a one-year contract with the Indianapolis Colts. So the quarterback dominoes continue to fall in the NFL. You are listening to The Bill Shanks Show.